You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Still Han Solo. Bart Scott is on vacation. And so when he's away, you know it's power hour time, obviously, tower number three. So we always let you, the callers, be part of this. And everybody loves to line up and get ready for this. So here's your opportunity to do it right now. So call in right now. We'll give you your chances. So as I told you, this is how we do it. It starts out very simply. Like we did it yesterday. I say, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. And then you do...
It's the power hour.
Lakers in 7.
Yeah, like what he said, Lakers in 7, which it didn't happen. But at least that's Jay. He gave it a shot. So the point is that you how much can you hold it? Like how far can you go with it? Yeah, that's what we want to see. The effort that you could put in to do it. That's what we want to know. How committed are you to the power hour? So let's try it. Earl and Bayonne. Earl, it is hour number three. It's Bart and Han. So what's that mean?
It's the power hour.
Well done, Earl.
Well, I feel like he had some kind of echo chamber working.
It definitely sounded like he was in a... Like
Earl in the break room.
Everybody's running right now in Earl's office, like freaking out. But it had the echo to it. The phone was kind of far away. So the acoustics, understandably decent, but the audio quality, poor. Got to do better than that. Ray and Rockland, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. What's that mean? Why does Ray sound like he's getting spanked?
There's a reason there was no gong on that one.
Ray really sounded like he was enjoying that a little more than probably he needed to. Ray in Queens. Ray, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. What's that mean?
Es la hora fuerte. Hey!
I love it. In any language, it sounds good. Joe in Harlem. It's Bart and Han. It's hour number three. What's that mean?
It's the power hour.
Well done, Joe. Well done. I love the effort. Again, everybody take a breath now. Take a drink. We'll do this again tomorrow. I see, again, it's about the effort. I like it. We went bilingual. That was good. We got that in. We did have some, one tried to go acoustics, bad sound quality. We got to work on that. And then the one, what would you say, guys? Like, did he sound like he was enjoying that a little too much?
I wonder how hard it's going to be for him to swallow when he realizes they're doing it live.
Yeah.
That one, I don't know. He sounded like he was about to die at the end there.
No, I don't know if it was die or whether, he achieved.
I need the freak. I want the freak.
All right. Well, anyways, let's try to get serious here. To do that, let's get into some conversation. So we got your calls, 800-919-3776. We'll get you into the conversation. But right now, joining the conversation is Frank Isola. You hear him. You see him on ESPN on several different vehicles, but also you hear him every morning on Sirius XM NBA Radio. Does a terrific show that I'm part of once a week. And I love the conversations we have. He and Brian Scalabrine get it done. So, Frank, first and foremost, because I know you are a New Yorker through and through, and I'd mentioned this in the previous segment, we got a lot of different bits of feedback about this. Is Mike Breen back-to-back now Emmy-winning play-by-play call, and it also was his birthday yesterday. And I just said, like, his bang is a signature call. It's one that's, like, exciting, and it just people love it. And if you get double bang, I mean,
bang!
nothing better than that. But we've been blessed in this area with a lot of great announcers who have signature calls. Of course, you know, yes, and it counts. Like, you have that. And, you know, of course, Michael Kay's Sia. Is there one for you? They're like, when you hear it, that's like, you're like, that's the one. Your favorite of the signature calls of New York announcers.
It would probably have to be Marv's, just because it's so, you know, I mean, he'd been around for so long. And, you know, then all throughout the 90s, he was doing most of those Michael Jordan playoff games and finals. And, you know, yes, Michael Jordan, but hurry. You know, he did the whole thing. So that one,
that's right.
that kind of sticks out. But, I mean, you think about what you have here. Doing the Knicks, you have Mike Breen. And doing the Nets, you have Ian Eagle.
Yeah.
Pretty darn good. And even the guys that are backing them up, I mean, you have Ryan Rucco. The Nets. I know Ed Cohen does a lot. Kenny Albert, you know. The problem is the studio guys, you know, Wally and the other guy. Well, Alan Hahn, that's right. That's his name.
Yeah, those mopes. Those mopes that bring it all down after the great game is over with. Yeah, no, Marv.
Yes, and the foul.
Right, and I also forgot that, too. That's the other great one, too, that you would always get that Kerr for three. like those are the – we grew up with that.
I love when Michael Jordan would go on one of these, like, crazy scoring binges, and the crowd of Chicago Stadium is going nuts, and Marv would lay out for a minute, and then all he would say is, Michael Jordan. It was like unbelievable. It was so cool.
So just say his name? Well, I mean, you do have Kevin Harlan now just putting freaking in the middle of someone's name and letting out woos and whatnot.
Right.
He's taking it to a whole nother level. But the last one I'll add is Phil Rizzuto's Holy Cow. You can't hear that without just, you know, that's nostalgia. Nothing better than that. But anyways.
And Billy Crystal imitating Phil Rizzuto.
Holy cow. What, first and foremost, what do you make of? Because we kicked this around on Get Up to a point where it's like we were almost paralyzed by the analysis of it and trying to figure it out. What do you make of LeBron James saying after the game last night that, you know, he's got to now take some time and think about playing and what he's going to do next? Did you immediately think, like, I could see him walking away, or do you not believe this at all?
You know what? I watched the whole thing. I really enjoy watching press conferences like that, especially after a team loses and it's, you know, legendary type of players.
Right.
You know, if the Celtics lose tonight, it's not going to be the same with Tatum and Brown, but it's still going to be interesting to hear what they have to say. So I heard the whole thing. I thought it was funny because he told a couple of stories, including one about Carmelo, and he told the media, I know you guys aren't going to believe this because you all think I'm lying. I guess it's something on social media about things that he had said.
Yeah.
So it was almost as if he was setting it up for, and at the end of this press conference, I'm going to say something and do not think I'm lying. I think it's a lot of things. I think in that moment, he's probably a little worn out and it's hard for him to think about playing another NBA season. I do think he knows how to create a good story. He's a good storyteller. It takes away a little bit from the failings of the team in that series, even though I think they had a good season all in all. It takes it off of being swept. I think he'll come back. I think he'd probably want some kind of a farewell tour. Plus, he's talked about playing with his son, so why are you ending it now? I would think if you look at the games played when he was his 4 years in Cleveland post-Miami, Cleveland got their money's worth. Because they won a championship and played in a lot of regular season games. He won the championship in L.A., but he hasn't played in that many games. I mean, it's asking a lot of the guy. He's going to be 39 next December. Maybe he's thinking, I could play, but I might only be good for about between 50 and 60 games. And the issue will be, if I'm not available for, say, 25 to 30 games, how are my teammates going to do without me? And maybe he's a little concerned about that, but I think he's going to come back.
Yeah, you feel like it's, again, I told that story, but you know the movie Forget Paris, right? Speaking of Billy Crystal, and it's like, you know, Kareem's farewell tour and that famous line, of course, let me be the first to say farewell. But of all the players, like there are some guys that are just, you know, announce retirement and just kind of disappear. There are players that'll they'll put out the post at the end of the season. They'll let you know that they retired. But there's certain players that also will let you know the year I'm retiring and have the farewell tour. And actually the one thing that's probably like Derek Jeter sort of, I didn't expect him to be a farewell tour kind of guy, but it ended up turning into that. Right. So I would think that LeBron, we go all the way back to the decision with this guy. Like he has never done anything understated for him to say what he said last night. Then like a week from now, go, you know what? I've made a decision. I'm done playing. That was my last game. Would be so not LeBron, because he doesn't do anything understated, that I would feel like, if anything, this is setting up for all of us saying, you know, he needs a farewell tour. And then him going, you know what? All right. You're right. You talked me into it, even though that was always on his mind.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You're right. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, so to me, if anything, this might be the setup of a farewell tour where he gets it, like the Cleveland. I mean, how emotional will that be, right? And then you get, you know, Miami, and, you know, does Pat Riley and he kind of bury the hatchet? Are they good? You know, Wade's there. They'll be, you know, hugging each other, going through all the memories of what they did. How about up in Boston where they booed him and they hate him? He ripped his jersey off that one famous time, and then have them cheer him. Wouldn't that be an odd moment? And then, of course, the Garden, so he can just torture us one more time talking about how much he loves playing here. But don't you feel like that just seems like the more likely ending, whether it's next year or, you know, the year after?
I think you're right. I think you nailed it. I think, you know, Tim Duncan didn't want anything big.
Right.
Dwayne Wade, you kind of got a little bit of that from him. Obviously, when Dirk Nowitzki was his last year, everyone thought it was his last year, but he would never admit it. But there were some great scenes. I was in Madison Square Garden when he played what turned out to be his last game there, and the fans were really responsive to him, and it was really cool. Same thing happened in Brooklyn. I remember being in high school and cutting out of school and going to see Dr. J play his last game ever at Madison Square Garden. It was actually a day game.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been – there might have been like a holiday game. I think it was like a Monday. Maybe it was Martin Luther King Junior Day. That could have been it. But, like, certain guys want it, and certain guys are kind of okay with it. I think LeBron would be fine with it. But to your point, be interesting to see some of those cities where, you know, he is a rival. How will they, you know, address him in Golden State, you know, where he handed them probably one of the toughest losses in the history of the franchise? How will they deal with it in Boston? It's kind of, you know, it's a pretty hostile crowd to begin with. Same thing with Madison Square Garden. He's a great player, probably a little more polarizing than a lot of the guys that we mentioned. That would make it a pretty interesting dynamic.
And you know what else is interesting too? Michael Jordan never had this, right? Didn't Michael Jordan just kind of disappear? Like the first time around, Last Dance, he kind of, you know, just didn't play, and we just moved on without him. I don't remember feeling like, wow, Michael's gone and the league feels different. Like, I don't remember that. But when he came back as a Wizard, I remember it being like, yeah, I don't want this. Like, I'm good. I don't need to see this. And then when it ended, it's like, fine. Like, it was a very, like, Michael Jordan's career ended in such an awkward way almost that I guess for LeBron, it's another way to trump him, right?
Exactly. So the Knicks played Washington in Washington. It was Michael's last game. And by then, everyone knew it was going to be his last home game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks played him. I actually saved. They handed out, like, special credentials. I recently looked online. I think I can get, like, $1,000 for it.
Nice.
But it was pretty interesting. That team that year was falling apart. If you go back and look at some of the comments, Jerry Stackhouse, who, you know, like Michael Jordan, University of North Carolina, Dean Smith, the whole thing, he really went after Michael Jordan. Like, basically how he messed up the team and some of the things that he said to some of the younger players. And I used to do the radio show with Jerry a few years ago. And do not mess with Jerry Stackhouse, because Jerry's as tough as they come. So it set a weird tone for the last two games. I'm pretty sure Michael's last game was the following night in Philadelphia. But it was so anticlimactic because it was Michael Jordan, like, not being in the playoffs. Let's face it. We all want the Hollywood ending for the great player, Michael Jordan hitting the shot of a Brian Russell. But let's, you know, Michael Jordan's allowed to decide whenever he wants to retire.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when he came back with the Wizards and people didn't like it, I said, you know what? It's his life. It's his career. Do whatever
he wants.
Yeah,
of course. And that's what made – I called this what LeBron and the Lakers were doing. I was like, this is LeBron's last dance. Like, we're watching it live. We don't need to see it again. We don't need to, like, wait 10 years. Like, we're going to see it now. We're watching it because you had all that stuff. You had the, you know, the villain Grizzlies and, you know, Dylan Brooks calling them old and all that stuff. And then him, you know, beast moding them and winning the series. You had Steph Curry, the ultimate speed bump for him, and so many times in the playoffs. And a guy who dangerously was, like, closing in on his territory as the generation's best player. And then he had to overcome that, and he did. And then it's like, wow, if he knocks off the number one team in the West to get to the finals, like, this, you know, like, this is getting good. Like, it's I want to binge watch this. I don't want to stop watching. So the way it ended kind of unceremoniously, you know, like, I don't know if I felt unfulfilled or what, but it just can't end like that.
Well, it's true. And, you know, it's weird with these playoffs because there was a moment there, even with the Knicks, where you think, you know what, I could see them winning this game. And if they play this team in the next round, why couldn't they catch a couple of breaks? And I started to get caught up in that with the Lakers as well. After they took care of the Warriors, I said, you know what, LeBron's only got to win four more games to get to an NBA Finals. He's certainly capable of it. And the games were so close in Denver. Yep. That's why I give the Nuggets a lot of credit. And winning game one was so big because then you're not chasing LeBron. He's chasing you. Right. And obviously taking care of business at home was important to Denver. But I think you're right because it seemed like there was going to be more with LeBron. I still go back to the dream. You know, it's his dream to play with his son. His son is allowed to have his own dreams. And let's face it, if you're making about, what they say, between $6 and $8 million, I've been on the USC campus. I'm pretty sure he's going to be pretty popular there, and I'm pretty sure it's still a co-ed campus. I think the guy's going to have a really fun time, and maybe he's going to enjoy the competition. He's got his, if he's going to make the NBA, he's got his whole career to do it. I get it. The time to play with his dad would be pretty short. But LeBron saying it's his dream, which is cool, but, you know, Bronny James, as a teenager, he's allowed to have his own dreams as well and try to fulfill whatever dreams that he has.
Listen, we both had teenagers, right? I mean, did your kids want you around? Like, no, man, no, like, dad, like, you don't have to always hover, right? We're talking with Frank Isola, going around the NBA. Speaking of retirement, so Carmelo Anthony made it official yesterday when he announced his retirement. And now in New York, there's this, you know, this debate that I didn't really think this was a conversation, but it's really become one of should the Knicks retire number 7? And I look up in the rafters and it's like that those are sacred numbers. I mean, it's all champions. Patrick, who wasn't but 15 years, I mean, he's a champion in other ways. And then Dick McGuire, who was part in the front office of the championship era, but also an all-time great in NBA history. I said it like this. I love Carmelo Anthony. I love him as a person. And he had a good run, and he kind of put the Knicks back on the map when they really were like a mess as far as a franchise and just getting respect around the league. I just don't know if 7 belongs up in the rafters. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I hate to admit this, but I agree with you 100%. And I think it's always weird when you have this conversation because I feel, you know, we both covered Carmelo Anthony. And Carmelo to cover, he's a sweet guy.
Yep.
He was always really kind. He was accommodating. I always judge him like this, too. Whenever you would see people drop in, national media people, whoever the person was from out of town, and they would ask a question, he would never belittle somebody. He would never get nasty with anybody. He was just really, really good to cover. I really enjoyed being around him, and he was a terrific player. But I do think that I'm not big on retiring any numbers, to be honest with you. I don't mind having like a ring night or something. Yeah. You know, like I always think about this, maybe the most famous number in sports is number 10 that Pele wore for Brazil. Other guys wear it. It's like, that Pele wore. Why can't other guys wear the jersey? But I get it. And I do think there is something to be said for having that standard. Because guess what? You know, if you're going to retire Carmelo's number, and I understand from a statistical standpoint what he did, and I think the 1 year he finished third in the MVP, but he only did win the one playoff series. So you go down the road of Carmelo, now you got to start talking about Bernard King.
Yep.
I would think John Starks and Charles Oakley would have to be in that conversation. You could probably then make the case for Allen Houston. And not that, you know, those guys were all terrific players, but I don't know. I've never been big on the retiring the numbers. I think the guys that are up there, it's like a certain kind of special group. That's not to say that Carmelo isn't a special player. I just don't think he was there long enough. And, you know, not getting to at least a conference. He got to a conference finals in Denver.
Yeah.
He didn't get to one in New York. He only got out of the first round. So, again, I always feel bad saying this stuff because it makes it seem like, oh, you're trying to say he didn't have a...
Yeah, you're a hater, career. Right.
He had a terrific career.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just don't believe in retiring. I give him a night. There's nothing wrong with giving him a night, but retiring the number, I'm not going to co-sign.
Yeah, which I can tell you that's coming. I mean, they're going to celebrate him next season. I can tell you that's coming. They're going to do a lot. They don't for some reason have like Ring of Honor or any of that. Like, you know how the Yankees have a Hall of Fame. Like, they have their own Hall of Fame. It's different than Monument Park. Like, I do think there's something like that you can do to honor him in some way in his, you know, the Knick legacy. I mean, he is a 7th all-time scorer in franchise history. You know, like you got 10,000 points, you know, in his career with the Knicks is a big deal. So there's things you should recognize. And I'm with you, too. It's awkward for me because I like him so much. But I also know I got to draw the line because I'm with you. You put 7 up there now. 30 up there. Do you go back to Richie Guerin, you know, who's a great scorer? They didn't win a lot, but he put up 50-point games and stuff. So bottom line is we're on the same page, but I do think it's a very possibility they're still going to do it anyway. Yeah. Frank, the Atlantic Division, which we don't talk about divisions, but I'll do it because of the grouping of teams. It's very interesting what's going on here. I've told people here in New York, you got to watch Philadelphia because now they're looking for a coach. They might be looking for another player because James Harden could be leaving. And then what happens with Embiid? And if Boston loses tonight, they could be looking for a coach. And they might be also, they might consider, was Brown and Tatum, is this worth doing? Will Jaylen Brown even say, I don't really like it here. I don't like Boston. I got 1 year left on my deal. Things could change there. We already know Toronto's looking for a coach, and who knows what's going to happen with that roster. Like, I always like, watch what's going on around you to see what fortunes are ahead for you if you're the Knicks or even the Nets. Like, do you see, like, a landscape possibly change at the top of the East with some of these franchises that have been dominating the East making changes?
Yeah, and I do think, you know, the Knicks helped themselves a lot with the year that we had. We talked about it, you know, this morning. I mean, let's remember, going into tonight's game, you have, you know, Giannis, Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. Combination have taken one game off the Miami Heat. The Knicks took two games off the Miami Heat, and they were down one possession, yep, you know, with the ball late in the game.
Almost forced a seventh.
Almost got to a game seven. So right. I think the Knicks have done a lot. I think the Knicks and the Heat certainly have done a lot to make themselves more attractive destination than they might have been before the season. I think people look, it's almost like the Heat have been rebranded. I think the same thing with the Knicks. But I think you're right about Philadelphia. That's a big question mark. You know, Daryl Morey is going to continue to be aggressive. You know, losing James Harden, I don't think would kill the team. I like him as a player, but, you know, look at the way he played in the final 4 minutes of game six, didn't show up in game seven. And Embiid, he's beloved down there. So I know it would take a lot for them to let him go. I mean, he could always walk as a free agent. I get that. Boston's the interesting one because they're paying a lot of money in tax and they thought they were a championship team and they didn't win. But I also think it's the kind of franchise with Brad Stevens running it, where I still think they're going to take a step back and say, you know what, last year we were up 2-1 in the NBA Finals and Steph Curry went off in the fourth quarter and we ended up losing, lost the series, but they were pretty close to going up 3-1. Mm-hmm. This year with the coaching change, I think it's up to this point, I think it's backfired. The owner wanted Brad Stevens to go down and coach the team. Maybe that would have been the smartest thing to do. Brian Scalabrine always brings up a great point. You know, last year on their staff, they had Ime Udoka, Will Hardy, and you had Damon Stoudemire. All three of those guys have left over the course of a year, and all three are head coaches. Two of them are NBA head coaches, and Damon Stoudemire is a college coach at Georgia Tech, and they really never brought in an experienced guy. And, Alan, you know this. You go back to Eric Spoelstra's first year in Miami, the first year with LeBron, and they lost people. Oh, I wonder if could he really be the guy that could coach these superstar players. And Joe Mazzulla is going to obviously go through that now. So they could be pretty conservative and say, you know what? We're going to go out and hire an experienced assistant coach, and we're going to stick with Joe Mazzulla. There's always a chance that they could do that. I think Tatum and Brown are going to stay. I think some of those role players, like I don't think both Malcolm Brogdon and Derek White will be back. I think one of them could come back. And Scalabrine's convinced that Grant Williams is going to end up on the Miami Heat. He thinks he's the perfect Miami Heat. he plays hard. He wants to fight everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came out and said a lot of night. He's already accusing Miami of tampering with the comments that they made about Grant Williams after game two. He's probably right about that.
He's such a great player. Yeah, poke the bear. He's actually a sleeper cell. He's the one that got Jimmy going, and they'll pay him back by bringing him in next year. Frank, I could talk basketball with you for hours. I really appreciate you jumping on with me here. All good stuff, and talk to you soon.
All right, Alan. Take care.
All right, Frank Isola. Again, it's a great show on Sirius XM. In the mornings, he and Brian Scalabrine, it's, again, starting lineup and after NBA playoff games especially, a really great place to go, and I enjoy it. Once a week I go on with those guys, and it's a lot of fun. But interesting stuff he had to say about Melo and certainly the division. Keep an eye on this division and see what some of these teams are going to do.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Aaron Rodgers speaking with the media as like we're talking right now. And he did say, so remember what we told you at the very beginning of the show, Diane Rossini, who's there at the OTAs today, and how Rodgers is going through all this different stuff. And then all of a sudden, he's like favoring his, it looked like his ankle, and there were some concerns. And, you know, of course, we all flip out. Apparently it's a calf. He said it's minor, not a big deal. Just took a Veterans Day and decided to just stay off to the side. Rich Cimini said that Rodgers said it's the first time in about 3 years he's participated in OTAs. So he's all good. He said that he didn't really need to do it because he had his trainers and didn't really need anything with the system because he knew the offense. But he said this is different, that he's helping Nathaniel Hackett install the offense. So he's very involved. That's good to know. More, it's also good to know that it's just a little calf tweak and it shouldn't be too bad, but we will panic anyway because that's what we do. But we were talking about a story going into OTAs that Robert Saleh had to deal with, and that is the story that involved Mekhi Becton a week ago to Newsday making a pretty public criticism of the coaching staff because of what happened last year and why he was injured, that he was put at right tackle, and he said it made no sense to do that. He said he hurt his knee, and he tried to tell the coaches that my bad knee, like, you're going to make me backpedal on this knee, and it's going to cause trouble. He said, I got forced to play the position that I don't play, and then I was pretty much telling them I wasn't feeling good the whole time, and they said I shouldn't be complaining. They said, go out there and do it. And I was limping through practice. I just took a step, my knee buckled, got hurt again, and needed another reconstructive surgery. So this being said publicly led to, of course, the media now going to Robert Saleh, asking him, well, what do you think of Mekhi Becton blaming the coaches for this?
I'm not going to get into the negative of all of it, because if you talk to 10 people, it's not about finger pointing. What I'm focused on, though, is over the last 6 months, Mekhi has done an unbelievable job getting his weight down towards a healthy weight that's sustainable. He's been available during OTAs. He's been prompt and very diligent with regards to meetings. He's probably the best shape of his life. He's got a smile on his face and he's attacking it, and that's what's most important. Whatever happened in the past happened in the past, and it's not about finger pointing. It's just about moving forward. And if he keeps approaching this offseason the way he has, and he keeps attacking it the way he has, excited to see what he does with his fourth year.
Okay, so like he wants to keep it positive, but Mekhi Becton is making it clear, I'm a left tackle, I want to play left tackle. So Robert Saleh was asked about that, about Becton wants to play left tackle, so will he?
He knows. You know, I think Dwayne Brown has something to say about it. I think Max Mitchell has something to say about it. I think the young kid Carter Warren that we drafted. Am I forgetting somebody? Who else out there? I'm sure I'm forgetting. What's that?
Billy.
So the good thing is that we have a lot of really good tackles right now that are competing to be one of the five or one of the two tackles that are on the football field. So it'll be a good, healthy competition, and those who attack it with the right mindset will end up reaping the benefits.
Really interesting what he said there, right? Like, that to me was the better answer of the two. The first one was, I want to keep it positive and all that. Second one, when asked directly about it, you heard the coach come out. And Robert Saleh making it clear, Mekhi Becton wants to be left tackle. He's got to earn it. I mean, we're not giving it to him, which tells you that they're, while they love that he has lost weight, he looks like he's in good shape, that they're basically saying, like, all right, but now mindset-wise, bring it every game. Bring it every day. Bring it every practice. Earn it. So it just kind of lets you know, while he's frustrated, they're also frustrated with him. And they're reaching a kind of breaking point. So this coming season for Mekhi Becton is a big season for him because, A, it's time to get paid. But, B, the Jets are, like, probably ready to move on from him. So if he doesn't bring it this year, especially this year with Aaron Rodgers there, like, you could say, like, this could end pretty quickly. Like, I don't think they would just carry him throughout the season because the way he complained about playing right tackle, it kind of tells me that training camp is something to watch here with Becton. See where they go if he isn't where they want him to be, not just physically, but mentally. Meanwhile, of course, where was Mekhi Becton protecting this precious calf of Aaron Rodgers, right? Shouldn't he be just following around? Like if there's like a divot that he's about to step in, you just pick him up. Like whatever it is, you got to protect this man. It's like Mandalorian, protect the child, like everywhere he goes. But Aaron Rodgers did have the calf tweak. He did talk about it just a few moments ago to give us a little update on how it feels.
And I just tweaked my calf, and it's good photos there. Just tweaked my calf in the little pre-practice conditioning, so I decided to take a vet day.
Took a vet day. So it sounds like everything's okay, right? All right. So all's well that ends well. We kind of hope. You feel? That's what you want. You got more from Aaron? Okay, so let's just talk about like what, oh boy, this is OTAs in May, everybody, but this is what it's going to be like. So he tweaked his calf, right? So, of course, the question is, what happened?
What exactly were you doing when you tweaked it? Which was those?
I don't know. Just running, I guess.
Oh boy. I don't know. Just old. Like, you know how that feels, right? Like, you ever like, I had this over the weekend. I was sitting on, literally, I'm sitting on the couch. Sitting on the couch. Saturday, pouring rain. Like, it was not a day to do anything. Couldn't do anything around the house. Just one of those days where it's just you, the beagle, and some sports. That's literally what it was about. Me and my dog, sports. Sitting on the couch. Got up to do God knows what. Got up. Knee was killing me. No idea why. Just hurt. So I'm limping into the kitchen. My wife looks at me. She goes, what'd you do? I'm like, I don't know. And that's literally what Aaron Rodgers said. I don't know. It just happened. That's being old. Sucks. That's reality. But we don't need this. No. Do it now. But my man needs some yoga. Stretch him out. Get him hot. I mean, it was a warm day, right? It was a nice day. It's not like it was a cold or chilly day. Like, anybody else feeling the anxiety I'm feeling right now as a Jets fan? Like, anybody else feeling the same type of anxiety with just this crap? It's all this is. It's a little calf tweak. It means nothing. And we got reporters like, how'd you do it? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Oh, no. Does that mean it could just happen at any moment? We just don't know? The life of a Jets fan, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
If you got the right editor and you're like, what do you think a headline? What are you thinking? Like, we would like kick around some funny headlines and come up with one. But like the Aaron Rodgers one, right? Like Deadspin's already doing what Deadspin does, is taking shots. Aaron Rodgers can't make it through warmups. Like that's their headline. The guy tweaked his ankle. They say he tweaked his ankle. It's actually his calf, but still. Rich Cimini notes that he didn't even have a wrap on this calf. So, okay. But if you're thinking about it, if this calf injury and it's a back page, and I mean, what else is going on right now, right? This is a back page story in the Post and the News and Newsday, right? This is going to be back page. So what are the suggestions? I'll take suggestions from everybody at Barton Hunt. I would go with calf a day. right? Rodgers a spectator at practice, something like that. Like he just puts in the half day. Like calf a day is probably the back pitch. Do we have a better one? Dino, do you have a better one than calf a day?
Maybe Rodgers stretches too hard? I don't know. How do you describe it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, right. Right, you couldn't even get through warm-ups. Jacob, you got something? What would be your back page on this one?
I guess a play on that between Laugh Factory and Calf Factory. Like it would have to be something along that.
Yeah, it definitely. We are laughing now, but we won't be laughing in September if this continues, right? That would definitely be an issue. We laugh and we listen to, of course, DiPietro and Rothenberg. It's a great show. It's a funny show. And you can come out and see them live Thursday, June 1st, starting from 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset for a special, get this, pregame broadcast and music from Randy and the Zoo. This is in the morning. This is at 6 a.m. It's just steps away from the Manhasset station on the LIRR. So then after the show's over, they're all getting on the train. They're going to Citi Field. They're going to tailgate in Lot F before the matinee game. So the Mets play in the afternoon. So this is going to be a whole party. Starts early, though. So the pregame party with Rick and Dave, it's brought to you by New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association, the Window and Glass Dealers Association of New York, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We finish up with some calls at 800-919-3776. Let's go to Tommy in Connecticut. What's up, Tommy?
Alan, what's up, bud?
How you doing?
Han Solo, bringing me back to the 7 to 10 weeknight days.
You tell me about it.
Yeah, dude. First of all, I just want to say, like, can you remember the last time a Yankees-Orioles series actually mattered?
It's funny you say that. I was saying that to Dino. I was like, I was talking to friends of mine, like, the last time I could think of where Yankees-Orioles had, like, some sizzle. Like, oh, this is going to be a good series. It's been a while.
I think Mike Mussina might have been on the Orioles.
Right. It's been that long since they've been that good. Right? Jeffrey Mayer was still in high school.
And then as far as some calls go, I mean, I'm a Giant fan, but I appreciate good broadcasting. And yep. Bob Wischusen's That's a Jet touchdown is awesome. And he is so good on hockey.
Tremendous, like, on hockey. I've said
incredible.
This.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Tommy, I'm telling you. He should be the lead voice for ESPN's NHL hockey coverage.
He's can get hyped up for so any good. Game.
Yes. He's so then, good at it. He was born to call hockey, and that's a tough sport to call.
Doing national where you're not doing a team every week, like, how do you know? It's unbelievable. And
then, of course,
you can't overlook the Al Michaels, Do You Believe in Miracles?
Well, I mean, that's as famous a call as there is. Thank you, Tommy. Like, that's just, again, but that's not a signature call. That's just one. Like, that was a moment that's just incredible moment. I'm talking about somebody's signature call. But really, again, just one more thing to co-sign on Bob Wischusen. He's really good at hockey. If you haven't heard him call games, you got to. He's really good. I mean, fantastic at it. Jacques in Connecticut. Jacques?
Hey, what's going on, Alan?
How you doing?
I listen to you and Bart every day faithfully, man. You guys are great, man. I love you guys.
Greatly appreciate you. Thank you.
No doubt. Yeah, one of the quotes that sticks in my mind all the time is, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
That's right. John Sterling.
Or the other one, Yankees win.
Yeah.
Yankees win.
Those are signature calls, no doubt. And again, it's the winning ones to me. I love those. Thank you, Jacques. Like, that's you love stuff like that when you're a fan because you know, like, that did it. That's the win. That's the one that got it done. Scott in Manhattan. What's up, Scotty? Scotty? Oh, he's got me. He's listening to the radio, so he's not hearing it. Javier in Queens. Javi, how you doing?
Han Solo, what up?
What's good?
I'm excited. You're taking me back to a simpler time, pre-pandemic, 7 to 10, Han Solo. I wish we could go back. A couple of very quick things. One, the headline for Rodgers would be Rodgers leaves to catch early bird special. And my iconic call my favorite iconic call, and it's confirmed by Top 40, is obviously the Scooter with Holy Cow. It made it onto a Meatloaf album. And one last thing, if you'll let me, in the voice of Paul Bearer, can I give a postpartum for the Lakers very quickly?
Oh, wow.
Rest in peace, Lakers. LeBron is not the GOAT. Get Ty Butler a box of tissues.
Going after Ty Butler and his Lakers. Hey.
The sneaky Lakers.
Well, that was Ty. Ty's whole thing was how the Lakers are the Lakers sneaky good. And I fought back. Like, the Lakers aren't sneaky anything. They have LeBron James. But you know, now we decide, like, have we seen the end of LeBron James? And I don't think we have. I think there's got to be a farewell tour. And it's probably coming. And that's what we're getting set up for. So apparently, I guess, so they're doing their exit interviews today in L.A. And while LeBron spoke with the media last night, so he doesn't have to speak with the media today, but I think Rob Pelinka did talk about how they're going to sit down with LeBron and then figure out, like, you know, where he goes from here. So that's that part of it. And, you know, the NBA without LeBron, I don't know if we're ready for that yet, but I think there'll be an NBA celebrating LeBron and maybe a final year, and that could be coming, everybody. And with it, what else is coming? Is it like, okay, let's just load up the Lakers with, you know, every possible, you know, like the Kyries of the world. And, you know, does Chris Paul want to join the party? Like, this is what you'll have to watch for this offseason. But what you have to watch tonight is interesting. So this is Heat Celtics now. This is now, we've never seen both conference finals end in a sweep before. One is already in the books. Do you get another one tonight? And if the Heat do sweep the Celtics, I go back to what I said. What does it say about what the Knicks did? Because that series was a battle with Miami. But then what happens in Boston? As I've told you, watch what's going on in Philadelphia. But you might have to watch what's going on in Boston as well. Because if they get swept out, if they don't show up, changes could be coming. And boy, that suddenly, those changes there put them in turmoil. And the Knicks suddenly could be looking as one of the most stable teams in the East. Yeah, I said it. Amazing. Aaron Rodgers had more to say today at his press conference after OTAs. You'll hear more of that on the K-Show. Of course, everything else as well. For me, I'll see y'all tomorrow. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.